Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm glad that you are here this morning and braved the elements. And how many guys, the roads were terrible for you on the way in? Anyone, they're terrible? All right, Alex, you're the only one. You must live out in the boondocks because everybody else got in smoothly. We do want to welcome those that are watching online and thank them for joining in and worshiping at home in their pajamas. We thought about wearing our pajamas this morning to church, but how many guys would be comfortable doing that, wearing your pajamas to church? All right, a few of you. How many guys would be really uncomfortable seeing other people in their pajamas at church? Yeah, there you go. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1 this morning. We're actually going to start a series of sermons. That's why we didn't cancel service today, because we're starting a series today, and it's 4 weeks long, and we have to do all 4 weeks, so we can't miss one of them, right? So we're going to start this new sermon series that we're calling this, Heaven to Earth. That's what Christmas time is all about, right? In the hustle and bustle of Christmas, of course, we think about all the other things that are going on. You think about the gifts and things just like Jordan was talking about. How many of you guys went out Black Friday shopping? Anybody go Black Friday shopping? How many of you guys did it online? It's totally different than it used to be. How many of you guys missed the fistfights of Black Friday? Yeah. I want to ask how many of you were involved in those, but when you think about all the different things that happen at Christmas, of course, it's really easy to forget what it's all about. But Christmas is all about heaven. And there's something special when someone comes to visit you, especially if they come to visit you at a time when you were not expecting them. I've told the stories, those of you that have been around here for a while, you've heard all the stories that I've told many times about Emma, our oldest daughter, being in the hospital. She had to have some brain surgeries, and we were in St. Louis at the Children's Hospital there, and we were hours away from home, and we didn't know a lot of people in the area, and so we didn't expect visitors, you know, and all of a sudden we heard a knock on the door, and we were expecting maybe a nurse or a doctor to walk in, and it was Leanne Boydston. I know no one in here except for the trainers know who Leanne is. There's a few that know who Leanne is. Those of you that don't know, Leanne was a lady that attended the church we were a part of in Reno, Nevada. And now we had moved to Illinois, and she didn't live in Nevada anymore. She actually lived in Texas. And Leanne opens the door, and she's like, in typical Leanne, because she's kind of over the top, kind of like I am. And she opens the door and goes, "Hello!" And I wish she would have videoed it, because I imagine that the look on her face is kind of processing, like, who is this crazy lady? Oh, wait, that's Leanne. Oh, wait, she lives in Texas. Like, wait a second, what are you doing here, right? There's something special when someone comes to visit, especially if it's unexpected. And when we think about Jesus coming to earth, Jesus came to visit humanity, if you will. And of course, we understand the scriptures in that Jesus wasn't totally unexpected. The people of that time that knew the scriptures knew that there were hundreds of prophecies throughout the Old Testament that talked about how Jesus was going to come. But a lot of those details are a lot easier to understand on our side of heaven coming to earth, right? For them, they were looking forward to it and had no idea that Jesus would be born in specific places at specific times and things like that. But the Bible tells us in Galatians 4 that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When God was ready, when he knew that we were ready, he sent heaven to earth. And the interesting thing about it is he tells us why he came in the next verse. In verse number 5 it says, here's why he came, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The reason that heaven came to earth is because we needed him to come. We needed to be redeemed. We needed to be bought back. Our sin needed to be paid for. And that's why Jesus came. The reason that salvation is available was because heaven came to earth. What's interesting is that Paul tells us that something else important happened when Jesus came to earth. In Colossians chapter 1, when he was writing to the church in Colossae, he said this, referring to Jesus, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus should all fullness dwell." And so not only did Jesus come for our redemption, but this verse tells us that one of the reasons that Jesus came was so that we could see what God looks like. We could see how God interacts with others. The Bible tells us in this verse that he is the image of the invisible God. If you may not have seen God firsthand, but you've seen Jesus, who is God, right? And he, all the fullness of God dwelled in Jesus. So Jesus was here to show us what God looks like. John actually wrote about this in John 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, referring to Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And of course, this is, we're not going to dive into it, but this of course gives us a look into the Trinity, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are co-equal, and they're co-existent. They've been around together for all time. It says in verse 14 of John 1, that the Word was made flesh. Heaven came to earth, right? He dwelt among us. And look what it says. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We were able to look at Jesus. We were able to observe his interactions with others. We were able to see how he talked to those that were down and out. And we were able to see how he interacted with those that were high and mighty and thought they were better than everyone else, right? If you want to know what God looks like, just look at Jesus. Just read through the Gospels and see what Jesus did, what he said, and how he acted. We'll talk a lot more about that part of it next week, but this week, I want you to see that before heaven came to earth, before Jesus was born in a manger, God put another representative on this planet. He sent heaven to earth in the form of someone else. Who do you think that might be? Maybe you're thinking of someone important in the Bible, another representative that from heaven to earth on this earth. Maybe you're trying to think of someone in your life that is the most godly person you know. But I'm just going to spoil it for you here. In Genesis chapter 1 is where we see this first representative that came from heaven to earth. In Genesis 1 and verse 26 it says, "And the Lord and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing and that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man, what are those next four words? In his own, that's five words, in his own image. Is that four words? That's four words. I'm from Tennessee. I'm okay to mess it. And we had a bad loss to Vanderbilt last night, so I'm still recovering. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The other representative that God put on this earth for us to be able to see God, according to these verses, is who? It's you. It's you. It's me. When you read through the story of creation, God created all these things. And when you come to the sixth day, when God is going to have the pinnacle of his creation, he creates man, and he creates man to be a representative of himself. We are created in the image of God. We are created in his likeness. For those of you that want to impress your friends at work, you can use the Latin phrase. We are the imago Dei. We are the image of God. When God created this world, it was on this sixth day that he brought heaven to earth when he created us in his image. Maybe you've heard the phrase whenever you meet a father and a son that look a lot alike. My son Andrew and I get that every now and then. And they'll say something like this. That boy is a spitting of his father. A spitting what? Is it spitting image or spinning image? Depends on which kid you're talking about, right? But it says they say they're a spitting image of their father, or are they a reflection of them? They look like them. They talk like them. How many of you guys have a father that you like, that you act like or you look like? How many of you guys have a mother that you look like and you act like, and you're like, man, I really wish I didn't, but there's still some of that in me, right? And we are created in the image of God. To be in his image just means that we were made in his likeness to resemble him. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about three things that we need to know about this truth that we have been made in God's image. The first truth is this, is we need to understand that this helps us understand our identity. We are designed to reflect God. One person said, images are created to image. I know that's really deep. But roll with me here. If you're going to create a sculpture of someone, a bust of their head or something like that, when it's all said and done, you want that sculpture to look like them, right? You want it to resemble their image. And we've talked a few times over the last few weeks about how creation declares God's glory, right? When you look at the sky and you look at the sea, when you look at creation, you can see that there is a maker. We didn't come from some big bang or something like that. We've talked about that, how creation declares his glory. It points us to him. The truth is that when we understand that we are made in the image of God, we see that we also declare God's glory. That when people look at us, and I'm not talking just about our physical bodies, although our physical bodies are amazing in the way that God has designed them and the way that God has made them, but we were made not just in the image of God physically, but the way that we talk, the way that we act, the way that we interact with other people should be an image of God, the way that God would do it. We were designed by God to reflect him, to communicate who he is, how great he is, and what he's like. As I was reading about this, I saw an illustration that someone used, and they said that basically we're kind of like a mirror. So that when people look at us, you want to kind of imagine that mirror. I'm sorry if I'm shining people lights in your faces there. But when people look at you, that mirror should be at like a 45-degree angle. So that when people are looking at you, it's a reflection so that they're looking at him. Does that make sense? The way that we talk should be a reflection of the way that he talks. The way that we interact with others should reflect the way that God interacts with people as well. Creation shows God's handiwork, while humans show God's person. It shows what God is truly like. Being made in his image means that we are unique from all of the other creatures, right? We as humans have the ability to reason. We have the ability to create. One person said that you don't find too many monkeys that are creating a Mona Lisa, right? They just don't have that creative ability about them, right? We are different from them. We're different from other creation. We are born with a sense of right and wrong. I mentioned, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, how you don't have to teach a kid how to steal, right? But just as much as you don't have to teach a kid to steal, you don't have to teach them to feel guilty about it when they get caught, right? Because there's something about us, the way God has made us in his image, we have this innate ability to be able to know the difference between what's right and wrong. You don't have to be taught some of those things. Not only that, but we are different from the rest of creation in that Adam and Eve were given dominion or responsibility over creation. The animals are not responsible for taking care of the environment. You know, as far as I know, whenever OSHA comes onto this into the scene, they're not fining animals for not taking care of the environment. It's not OSHA. What's the government agency? The EPA. The EPA doesn't fine monkeys for, you know, not taking care of the jungle, right? They're not responsible for that. We're created different from them. But we're not only different from the rest of creation. We're not only different from the rest of creation, but we are also examples to other humans. This isn't so much like we're called to be representatives, so God just sits us down and goes, all right, here are all the things that you need to do to represent me, and like we have to be told what to say or told what to do, as much as it is like a son that just inherently looks like their father. As much as it is like a son that just, or a daughter that inherently looks like a mother, we see this in the way that there's something inside of us that just naturally longs for unity. We joked around about Thanksgiving and Black Friday and, you know, those sorts of things, but I also recognize that a lot of us had family get-togethers, and whenever you start having family get-togethers, it kind of reminds us of all of the factions that are in family. Anybody's families here have factions within them, drama within them? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? And there's something in us that like doesn't enjoy that very much. How many of you at some point over the holiday season have told someone in your family, I'm not going if so-and-so's going to be there because I don't want to listen to the drama? Yes, a lot of you don't want to raise your hand. You don't want to admit it. Some of your family's in this church, right? But like, we are created by God to have unity. We don't want to have that disunity. Not only that, but we are created with this innate desire for community. We read earlier in the verse where it said, let us make man in our image. Again, referring to the Trinity and how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit have always been in existence with one another. And we have been created in their image, in that there is something inside of us that longs for community. There's something inside of us that has a capacity to love and to be loved and to have meaningful relationships. There's something inside of us that longs for forgiveness. When we have wronged someone, we long for them to forgive us. And oftentimes when someone has wronged us, there's something inside of us that just wants to forgive, and sometimes we just don't know how. Again, we're made in His image. God put that in us. We are created with a desire for hospitality. We're created with a desire for encouragement, both to others and for others. We are created with a desire to partner with others to accomplish the things that God has given us to do. We see that we are made in the image of God when we recoil at the mistreatment of others. We can see that we're made in the image of God when you watch the news and there's a poor person or an elderly person that is being abused, or when someone that is marginalized, or when the unborn are not being cared for. We see these kinds of things, and there's something inside of us that just recoils. And then when that person that wronged them gets what they got coming, how many of you rejoice with that? You ever seen somebody get sentenced to life in prison, or they get sentenced to 40 floggings or whatever they call it, you know? And you get excited about that, like, that's what you deserve, right? Or you're watching a football game and somebody does something wrong to your teammate, the guy on your team, and they get kicked out, and you're like, yeah, that's what you get. Because there's something inside of us, the way that God has made us, has this desire for justice. And when we begin to understand that we are made in the image of God, we see that every person has inherent worth. Every person has inherent value. As a matter of fact, James put it this way in James chapter 3. He said, therewith, talking about the tongue, he says, with the tongue we bless God, even the Father, and with that same tongue curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. They are made in God's image. And the same tongue that blesses God is cursing the people that are made in His image. And in the next verse he says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. These verses are reminding us of the fact that all people are made in the image of God. When we start to believe this and start to be reminded of this, we stop seeing problems and we start seeing people. On the other side of that, when we begin to understand that we are made in the image of God, it also changes the way that we see ourselves. We begin to see ourselves as having purpose. I love stand-up comedy, and I was listening to a comedian recently, and he said that, I take that back. It wasn't a stand-up comedian, it was a pastor. I also like listening to preaching. It was Greg Laurie. Many of you know Greg Laurie is a pastor out in California, and Greg Laurie said that he was the product of a one-night stand. He said, my mom could have named me Oops. And it's okay to laugh, all right? He was joking when he said that. But he said, I came to understand that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. And when we understand that we are made in the image of God, it reminds us that we are not an accident. It reminds us that we are handcrafted by God to reflect His nature, to show others how God works and who He is. It reminds me that I matter. It reminds me that I have worth and value. God has a plan for me and that God loves me. We are designed to reflect Him, to be His representative. But let's be honest, that's not always the case, is it? What people see when they look at us oftentimes is not a reflection of Him, it's more a reflection of our brokenness. I should have asked for permission before I told this story about our son. I won't name which son it was then, but our son, our only son, has two older sisters, and they oftentimes would get riled up doing something upstairs in their room when they were younger, and we would send Andrew up. Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say which one. We were supposed to send our son up to talk to him. He was going to go as our representative, right? He was going to go up there and he was going to tell them to stop being so loud, or tell them it's time to go to bed or time to brush their teeth or whatever. And he was called to be our representative, right? He was supposed to go there. When they looked at him, they were supposed to see mom and dad. They're supposed to hear what mom and dad wanted him to say. But oftentimes, he would go up there with a little bit of bravado because he was the younger brother, right? And he would go up there and he'd kind of stomp in and hold his chest up high and he'd say, "Girls, time to brush your teeth." He'd say, "Girls, time to go to bed," or whatever it was. And he would almost take advantage of this opportunity that he had been given. And you could hear him barking orders and things like that at him. And we would say, "Son, that's not how it's supposed to go." As the verse said, this ought not so to be, right? The truth is that when we understand that we are made in God's image, it helps us to understand our identity in that we are to be a reflection of Him. But an obvious look into our lives helps us to see, number two, our brokenness. We're supposed to be reflecting the image of God, but oftentimes we're like our son that would go in and take advantage of things or not do things in the way that we had asked him to do it. The truth is, I can't tell you how many times that I've seen God's image distorted in people's lives. We hear people say often, and maybe you've heard this as you invite someone to church or start to tell them about Jesus. How many times have you heard people talk about how they don't believe in God or they don't go to church? And then you ask them, "Well, what's the story behind that?" And so often we'll hear people say something, not because God did something to them, but because a person did something to them. An image bearer of God that was supposed to be, whenever they looked at a believer, when they looked at another human, they were to see God, and what they saw was not an accurate portrayal of our Heavenly Father. I've heard people say, "I love Jesus, but I can't stand His followers," because we oftentimes have a distorted image of God because of our brokenness. The truth of the matter is that this is not only true for Jesus followers. This is not only true for believers, it's true of all people. All people are made in the image of God. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, the goal was for them to be His image bearers. The goal was for every human that was ever born to be a reflection, for us to be heaven here on this earth. But we see that was broken very early on. We were reading in Genesis 1 earlier, but it's only two chapters later that Adam and Eve gave an invitation. You know the story. The serpent comes in, tells them, "If you'll eat of this fruit, then you'll know good, between good and evil." They said, "Well, God told us not to eat that." He said, "Well, God just doesn't want you to know." They were presented with an opportunity to reflect God's image, to follow God's plan, or to determine or define good and evil for themselves. Of course, we know they ate of that fruit. And ever since they ate of that fruit, it's been a dumpster fire ever since, has it not? It's been a train wreck ever since. Of course, the first thing they did after they ate of it, they hid themselves because they found out they were naked. The next thing they did is when God pursued them, what did they do? They hid, right? And they hid from God. The next thing they did is God said, "What you doing?" And Adam says, "Well, the woman you gave me," right? And they start this blame-shifting stuff, and it's been downhill ever since. They end up having children. We know the names of a couple of them, Cain and Abel. And if you know the story between Cain and Abel, you know that sin of their fathers, their mother and father, was passed on to them as children, because what did Cain do to his brother Abel? Killed him. He got all worked up, he got mad, he got angry, and he killed his own brother. Of course, we know that it didn't stop there. In Romans chapter 5, we are told that, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The truth is that even though mankind has sinned, even though mankind has been broken, we still continue to live. We still continue to do the things that God created us to do in His image. We still have a capacity for work. We still have a desire for community. We still have the ability to create, but there's more of a tendency to bend those desires toward self rather than to bend them toward God. Rather than reflecting God and His character, we do those things following after our purposes and our character. And all that is wrong in this world is a direct result of it. When we think about our brokenness, I can't help but think about how we do oftentimes do things our own way. I know a few people that work at Chick-fil-A. Have you guys ever heard of Chick-fil-A before? It's a lovely place, right? But one of the things that you know is that they have incredible customer service most of the time at Chick-fil-A. After they do something for you and you say thank you, they reply with, yeah, so you've been there. Okay, you've heard of it, all right? They reply with, my pleasure. Now, let's just imagine that you have a disgruntled employee at Chick-fil-A that is not reflecting the image of Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, and someone does something or says something to them, and they look back at you, and instead of saying, my pleasure, they say, whatever. Not at Chick-fil-A. How do they have a job here if they're not saying my pleasure and have an attitude? What would happen if that was allowed to continue at Chick-fil-A? You'd have Burger King, all right? That's what you'd have. You'd have McDonald's, right? You'd have Hardee's, right? No offense to any of those people, but the truth is that they've done a good job to try to reflect a specific image. This is why we are here. This is what we do. And the same thing is true in our lives. God knew that this is true of us as well. If we are allowed to continue in this brokenness, things are going to get worse because brokenness perpetuates brokenness. When we allow brokenness to continue and we continue to pursue after our own desires and pursue after our own wishes, it leads to more problems and brokenness. At our house, we've been remodeling our bathroom upstairs, and pray for me, because I've been having to watch a lot of YouTube videos to figure out the plumbing side of it. It's got the old cast iron drain, and I don't know if you've ever had to cut a cast iron drain, but it's not fun, and the hole in my ceiling or kitchen can prove that to you, all right? But let's say that I get all of that put back together, and there's a small drip that's coming out of that pipe. Now, I'm not sure if you know what goes through a waste pipe, but I'll let your imagination just run wild with that, all right? But let's just say there was a small drip, and I said, it'll be all right. Have you guys ever looked at a home project and said that? It'll be all right, you know? And we just let that go. That bathroom is directly over our kitchen. As a matter of fact, when I cut through the ceiling, Misty came running. She's not feeling well today, or the other day when I was doing this, and she came running up the stairs. I looked up, and she's going, you're cutting through the ceiling. She was freaking out, and she said, I covered whatever she was working on the stove so the dust didn't come into it. But imagine if it wasn't dust coming down because I allowed that brokenness to perpetuate. I allowed that brokenness to continue. It's going to be a lot worse than dust coming out of the ceiling, right? There may be some serious problems when things are not operating in the way that they have been designed. So we see that we find our identity in being made in the image of God, but understanding that helps us to see our brokenness, and so that leads us to the third and last thing that we'll talk about today, and that is the need for our restoration, the need for us to be restored. What do we do about this brokenness? Because if you're like me, there are a lot of things in my life that don't necessarily reflect that I am made in the image of God. I struggle oftentimes in being a good image bearer. You might think that the answer to get to this problem, that whenever our mirror's dirty, or if our mirror is going the wrong direction, you might think that it'd be good to, you know, get some Windex and spray that on there and get that thing all cleaned off so you can start looking more like God. But the truth is that we get a look into the restoration process when we go back to Genesis 3. The neat thing about this is that after they were made in the image of God, after they found themselves broken because of sin, the way that God restored them was not looking at them and saying, hey, y'all need to get cleaned up. The way that God restored them wasn't, hey, y'all need to figure this out, right? That's not what he did. As a matter of fact, in Genesis 3 and verse 15, this is what he said. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking here to the serpent or the devil. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is the first promise of the Messiah that's going to come, heaven coming to earth. And he's telling the serpent that, hey, you might win a few battles, but ultimately you're going to be destroyed by this Messiah that's going to come, and I'm going to redeem them. And what we see is that the restoration process here, what he's referring to here is Christmas, right? Heaven coming to earth, and that is how we find restoration. Because heaven came to earth, we can be restored, we can be forgiven. The image of God can be restored in us. I want to talk more about this next week. But let's conclude today by talking about how Adam and Eve found that restoration. It was not because they did something. As a matter of fact, when they found out that they were broken, they were naked, what did they do? They went and got fig leaves, right? And they sewed these fig leaves up to cover themselves. And we see that God looked at them and said, no, you can't cover your own sin. You can't fix your own brokenness. The beautiful thing about it is that in their brokenness, it wasn't that they pursued God. It was that God pursued them. I hear people say, I found the Lord, or I found Jesus. Well, here's the news. He was never lost, guys, right? Like, he's been in the same place every time. It was me that was lost and undone. You see, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's what we see all the way back in the Garden of Eden. The way that the image of God was going to be restored in Adam and Eve's lives was not because of something they did, but because of something that God did. He made the first step. And aren't you thankful that when you are in brokenness and when you are running from God and when you don't reflect the image of God, aren't you thankful that God pursues you? Because far too often, we're not pursuing Him. We are broken, but the good news is that God loves broken people. So much so that heaven came to earth. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Eden, when God was pursuing them, and He saw them covering their nakedness, He said, you can't cover that yourself. Let me take care of that for you. And He killed an innocent animal and covered their nakedness with the skin of this innocent animal, which is a beautiful picture of what would happen a couple of thousand years later, that Jesus, the Lamb of God, would give His life so that He could cover our brokenness. So the question I want to ask today is this. Is your life a reflection of God? We are made in His image. Every one of us, whether we are followers of Jesus or not, we were created to be the image bearers of God. But the truth of the matter is that oftentimes we find ourselves in a broken spot. Maybe you're in that spot to where you understand that you were made in the image of God, but we have a hard time remembering that others are as well. When I was younger, that used to manifest itself in the way that we would talk about the way a person looked. As you get older, it's talking about the way a person acts. And we forget all the while that God made them that way. And our responsibility is to see people as being made in God's image. Are we bearing His image today? If not, the answer is not try harder. It's not like on the way out we're going to give everybody a roll of paper towels and a bottle of Windex and say, all right, guys, let's work on this mirror, right? Let's get better at this. No, the way that we see restoration is not by our own power, our own strength. It's the same way that we're restored spiritually. It's by looking to Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that produces, the Holy Spirit of God is the one that produces His image in our lives. And like I said, we'll talk more about that over the next couple of weeks. But if you're struggling today, may today be a reminder for us to know that heaven came to earth in the person of Jesus, but heaven is still on earth through us. As the Spirit of the living God lives inside of us, we are able to be God's image bearers as we continue to look to Him and allow Him to transform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.
Thanks again for listening today. Grace Baptist Church exists to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. If there's anything at all we can do for you, please reach out to us. You can reach us on Facebook as well as online at experiencegrace.church. Hope you have a great day.